Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 195. I am Chris, as always, joined by Fozzie.
Hey.
And Jeff.
YOLO. I'm bringing YOLO back.
YOLO?
So yeah.
Oh boy.
Bringing it back.
So that burned out pretty quick, so.
I know. I was all about it, too, for like a fucking little bit.
About a minute and a half.
Yeah.
Do you play any games more than once?
Who?
You.
What since, I do?
Well, you YOLO, so, like, what games you been playing?
I played some different things this week for once. Probably the most interesting one that I want to talk about is Quiz Up. Have you guys played that?
Quiz Up, no. What's that, where's that at?
Mobile.
Mobile, okay.
Alright, so you download it, like, and right away if you, like, connect with Facebook, like, we would be connected, we could play against each other, it's just a quiz game. But it has, like, a lot of fucking categories, like, there's, like, movies general, there's, like, Big Lebowski category, there's fucking movie quotes category, you know, anything, not just movies, but games, fucking, you know, science, whatever.
Right.
And you don't even have to, like, I mean, I guess this is probably, like, these are probably, like, common features of mobile games, but, like, you don't have to play each other at the same time. Like, you know, you could challenge, like, I could challenge you to movies, right? And
right.
Against you, and then say you get a break at work, and you go to play it, let's see, you have a challenge, you can play against me, and it looks like you're, like, when you're playing me, it'd be,
okay, so you've already answered all your questions, but then, like, I'm going up against your times and the answers that you did, so.
Yeah, and it looks like you're playing me in real time, like, you'll see how quickly I answer the question and shit. Like, it feels like you're playing against me right now.
Right.
Now, if you challenge first, like, I challenged you, and then you played me later, like, when I come back on later, I'll just see the results. But, like, I can look through them, like, what you got on each question, how fast you were, et cetera. But, yeah, it's really fun, man. It's fucking free, so can't go wrong there.
It is?
Yeah, I just looked it up, downloading it now.
And I downloaded it, and, like, a shit ton of my friends on Facebook have that, so I've been playing the fuck out of that game.
Cool.
So that's one game.
What's more? Tell us all of them.
What else did I play? I played a little bit of Splinter Cell Blacklist on Wii U tonight.
Oh,
on Wii U, huh?
Oh, Lord.
Well, I had seen that it was, like, the better version.
Right.
I don't know why yet, because, okay. Like, I haven't used the gamepad at all yet, really. But, you know, it looks good and whatever. It's fucking... And it was cheaper on Wii U, so... it's really fun, man. Like, I'm not a huge fan of the series. I really liked Conviction, but it's been forever since I played that, so I don't know. Like, it feels like Conviction, but I don't know if my memory is completely accurate. But the whole mark and execute thing... I don't know if you guys remember that, from, like, the last one.
Yeah.
That's fucking awesome. Basically, you just build up a meter by doing shit, and you could mark a bunch of enemies and shoot them at once. His voice is different. That's weird.
Michael Ironside used to play him, right?
Yeah, and I don't know who the new guy is. Like, he's not bad or anything. It just doesn't sound like Sam Fisher. But it's kind of like, I mean... I'm no expert on the series, but it's kind of, like, I thought the last one was more accessible, and I feel like the same way about this. It's kind of like the last one, where, like, you are allowed to approach things in different ways. It's not super, super hard, so.
Right. That's cool. Like, you can play it like a shooter.
Kind of. I mean, like, you're kind of super underpowered if you're going to try to do that. But.
Right.
You do get to, like, you unlock shit as you go along, from what I can tell, and there's, like, loadouts. You could, like, do a custom loadout for every mission, so.
Okay.
Maybe you could go in there with fucking assault rifle, guns blazing, I don't know. I feel like there was something else that I played. Did I mention anything else to you?
I don't think so.
If I remember, we'll come back to it.
Alright. Fozzie, you play anything this week?
Nothing new, really. I have Titanfall. I'm in playoff season of NBA 2K.
Woo! Yeah, how's that going?
Yeah. I'm really can't wait for it to be done. I don't know, like, I like the game a lot. You know, I think Napo was saying that it wasn't kind of bare bones, but the game is kind of bare bones. I mean, there's a career mode, there's a GM mode, and then there's like a play now mode, and I mean, that's pretty much it. When you look at the 360 version, like, there's like a whole like LeBron legacy thing you can do, and
right.
There's a lot of different things that you can do in that game. It's kind of lacking. I mean, I understand it is a one of the launch day titles, so you know,
right?
Really expect
but they charge the same price for that, so you kind of you kind of expect the same experience, slimmed down one.
Right, and like there's just a couple like really. You have to play through all 82 games in the season. You cannot simulate any game your rookie year. So, I became a starter of my team, like, about 20 games in. So, I've played a lot of basketball already.
It's like 60-some games there you had to play.
Yeah, and you're playing 10-minute quarters. I mean, that's 50 hours or so easily.
Right.
For one season, you know, I mean, you should be able to simulate as much as you damn want, to be honest. I mean, no one wants to play that fucking, you know, 25 years of that shit.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So, yeah. But it's still fun, you know, I'll get close to championship. After that, I think I'll finally put that game to rest. Now I'm kind of like, I'm on my first day of my 4-day vacation, and I want to finish Assassin's Creed 4, but I also want to start up Dark Souls 2.
Well, you got some time. You know, Dark Souls 2, dude.
Yeah, and a lot of people are going to be out at PAX, so I mean, like, I can just, like, kind of just do my own thing this weekend.
Seriously though, like, that game requires time, and you have time right now.
Exactly. Oh yeah, I know. Like, I totally, and I could switch between the two because they both play very differently. So, I mean, it's not like I would get bored from one or the other.
Yeah.
Besides that though, I really want to play Goat Simulator still for no reason. Really,
it looks fun.
Yeah, it looks like I need like half an hour just to do nothing.
Right.
Be a goat for 30 minutes.
Like a very destructive goat.
Oh my god, I was watching like the giant bomb, and it's actually like the quick look, like there's a good amount of stuff you can do in that game. It's pretty deep. Like, just, like, the different parts of the city that you can go to, and it's one part where you can get, like, a mask or something that's, like, can have you summon goats as you wish. So, you can literally call goats to rain down on people as you're, like, this, like, goat god, so.
Yeah, I heard something, I don't remember what show it was exactly, but I heard something where they were talking about you have to get like 5 or 10 like civilians and drag them to a certain area and then sacrifice them. And if you do, like you become the goat lord, and it's
yeah,
crazy.
Exactly. I mean, it's nuts. But also, I mean, there's been a couple of good PC games just coming out recently that I need to get my hands on. There's that Nazi plane one that looks great.
Luftrausers.
Yeah, Luftrausers.
However you say it.
Yeah, that game looks awesome. That Broforce game came out too. People have been liking that. So, but me in general, I've just been kind of playing the same old Titanfall and the NBA.
That's cool. Jeff, you played Burial at Sea Episode 2, so you finally finished up that Bioshock Season Pass.
Yeah!
Wait. No spoilers, though, because I haven't done it yet.
Well, that's the thing is, like, what is a spoiler here? Like,
anything you're thinking of.
It takes place in Rapture.
Yes, but it yeah, see, like, I'm just going to say it, because it's not a spoiler. I think it ties together the two games really well, like Infinite and BioShock.
Okay.
It finds ways to tie things together so that the worlds are connected more than just for the fact that they, you know, multiple worlds exist. Like, there's a lot of connections between Infinite and the original BioShock and why things happen in both, I guess.
Okay.
Is that too spoilery? I don't know. I mean, it wasn't necessary or anything, but it's kind of like a little nice bow at the end of it all.
Here's the main thing I have to you, because I feel like I got shafted out of that season pass. I wasn't very happy.
Like, shafted for buying it?
Yeah. Like, I just feel like I have buyer's remorse from it. What do you feel?
Did you play it?
No.
Okay, well, I feel like the first DLC I never played, but I heard it was just like some arena.
The castle in the sky thing.
Yeah, so whatever, that is garbage. And then the two other DLCs were basically one story, and the first one was not like amazing or anything, and it was short, but this one was a good, it probably took me a good 4 hours at least to play through it. Like, it was a little mini BioShock game. And it had, like, some kind of different new ideas in it. Like, you do play kind of stealth in it for a lot of it. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know, dude. I don't feel robbed at all. Like, I did at first. At first, I was like, I'm never buying DLC again. But I think they kind of redeemed themselves with the last one.
Do you think maybe because you guys both bought it, like, really early on? Like, I think right when the game came out.
Yeah, and I feel like that's the problem, too, is, like...
They shouldn't have been selling it then.
What? Well, yeah.
Yeah.
When did it come out? It came out, like, this time last year, right?
Yeah.
The game, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, like, a lot of people have, I guess, different preferences on DLC, when it should be released, when you feel like, because there's a very fine line between feeling like, okay, they could have fucking added that on, or just, like, man, this is taking way too long. I have no more interest in this game.
I will say this. Like, I was the same way, but I was like, I paid for it, so I might as well, you know? And you should, too. You paid for it, right? So.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I want to play it eventually. It's just, for me, like, I feel like the damage is already done. I mean, fuck. Like, a lot of games have come and gone since that game. For me to just go back.
I don't play a lot of DLC myself, so, like, I don't know what, like, to compare it to, but this felt like almost like a full game for, you know, whatever.
No, I know. It's probably pretty similar to, like, Mass Effect's big DLCs when, like, they have some pretty big ones, too, where you get a good 4 or 5 hours content. Maybe they felt obligated. Maybe they felt like, well, shit, like, I mean, people have been waiting this long, you know. Let's give them something that they'll like. 5 hours, that is pretty good. That's like 20 or 30% of the game's duration right there.
Yeah.
But again, like, my interest for it was, like, after like the third month of releasing a game, and you're promising a season's pass, like, there should be something out there.
Yeah,
I don't think
it wasn't the first month, but they got that awesome whatever mode.
Well, what was that even like? Was that story?
I didn't play it. No, it was just some multiplayer thing.
Yeah, it was just an arena shooter.
Oh, I mean, like, I guess eventually I'll have to go back to it, but
well, you paid
for now. It's like it almost feels like it's too late.
I say do it, especially if you, like, yeah, I was the same way. I was like, well, I don't know, I didn't really give a shit anymore, but I'm happy I did.
So, as a BioShock fan, would you recommend other BioShock fans play it?
Yes.
Okay. Alright. I will give that a shot. I'll probably buy the season pass, because I think it drops $10 off the price of the barrel at sea stuff, so. The season pass is $20, and the Burial at Sea episode 1 and 2 are $15 apiece. So.
Yeah, might as well. I mean, episode 1, I would almost say it's not necessary, but fuck it, for $5 more, you get another 2 hours. Or
right.
Whatever.
Yeah. I mean, that's like, you know, you get 5-7 hours out of the 2 episodes. That's the length of some games now, so.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, if you like BioShock, I think you're gonna be pretty happy with what, like, how they, I mean, it's, you're adding on to a story that has already ended, you know, but I think they did it in a really good way and really tied the universe together.
Cool. I finished Infamous. I was less than impressed.
How did you enjoy my lovely city of Seattle?
The city's nice. It's a very pretty game. Before we started, I was talking with Jeff. I was not enamored with the gameplay. Like, it's very, very repetitive. You're doing the same things over and over again. And the story missions, well, I thought the story was definitely better than 2. It's just not all that. I mean, the reason to play it is to play through that story. Like, if you're playing it for the gameplay, I don't understand. Like, that was the reason I kept going, was the characters, particularly, Delson, his brother Reggie, and, the second, conduit who you get the neon powers from, Fetch, they were very good characters, and, it was fun to kind of like hear their dialogue and their interactions. The third power guy, he was less interesting, and then it just kind of spiraled down from there. But I don't know, it was okay. I'm not thrilled with it. I probably won't go back and play much more of it. But if you have a PS4, like, that's kind of it for right now. So.
It's an open world game and play, right?
Yeah.
Why not?
I mean, it just doesn't feel like it advanced anywhere. It's better than 2, but I'm still not sure if I liked it more than 1. Which I liked quite a bit, but.
The first one?
I liked the first one a lot.
I did too. I thought it was cool. Oh. Correct me if I'm wrong. First one, when you're up on the streets, it's like basically like a shooter with lightning, and then you go into sewers and it's platforming. That's how I remember it.
That's pretty close to what it was like.
Yeah, there's less platforming in Second Son. It's a lot of shooting. The shooting is okay. It's not the best, but so it's alright.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe I'm just remembering it wrong. I always thought the second one was the better of the two. But...
I disliked the second one a lot.
Yeah, I think I played the demo for the second one. I was like, fuck this game.
Why?
I don't know.
All
I mean,
three Infamous play the same. They're all the same fucking game.
Well, like I said, I only played the demo, so I cruised my head for like legit reasons.
I just didn't like the story. I thought it was really kind of meh. I wasn't really a big fan of the powers, and I mean, yeah, a lot like Infamous 1, very repetitive. But I found the villains to be less fun to fight against. And same kind of with this, like. At least in Infamous 1, like, you faced off against different, maybe even in Infamous 2, you faced off against different, enemies.
Yeah.
In this, you're kind of fighting, like, these, they're called the DUP. They're basically, like, anti-superhero police, anti-power police. So, you're fighting them, like, the entire game, and there's not much different, like, you don't really go up against any other enemies, and it's a very focused storyline, except it seems like there should be a sense of, I said this last week, there should be a sense of urgency in what's going on. Like, the reason you're doing it is to you know, help out your tribe back home who need you to get this power. Yet instead, like, the game kind of encourages you to dick around in the open world. It's like, but I should really, like, my people back home are dying and I should be moving a little bit faster here. So I don't know. It was okay. Also, one of the things I really liked about the first one, and maybe even the second one, was collecting the shards. It was a lot like collecting the orbs in Crackdown.
Yeah.
This is way different the way they handle it this time. So now you have to take down these towers or these mobile command units. So you have to fight an area. You fight enemies in an area and take it over, and then the shards are revealed. But there's only like four or five in each section, and then some like ones that kind of float around on these little surveillance cameras, so that you have to like chase them down. But they all show up on your map, so you're not really hunting for anything, and it kind of takes the fun out of like exploring like you would in Infamous 1, where you were like, oh, I see that shard way over there, and you have to try to figure out how to get to it. Now it's just like, all right, well, it's on my map. I'll go there because I need a shard to get this power. So, whatever. If you have a PS4, though, as I said, it's pretty much the only thing out there right now, so maybe hop on that. Glowing endorsement.
Exactly.
I played more Diablo. That game's still a lot of fun.
Fuck yeah, Diablo.
Fozzie probably still hate it because
it hasn't
done the things that he wants it to do.
No. I do want to play it just because, like, I hear the drops are better, but I'd have to go down to the peasant level of softcore mode.
Right, because, like, your hardcore mode is...
Hardcore is fucked. Like, there's no reason why any sane person would play hardcore. I'm really kind of confused by the difficulties now, though. Isn't it kind of like there's, like, an extreme or... Sorry.
That's all right. There's normal, which was, I guess, maybe there was always a normal. I'm not sure. There's normal. Now there's a hard mode where... I think before when you played through the first time, you unlocked Nightmare mode. Nightmare's gone. Now it's hard mode.
Right.
Then there is another one above hard, and then Torment is there's a fourth difficulty, that unlocks as well. And as you play up, like, so it's like 75% more, experience in gold if you play on hard. I think it's like 150% more if you play on whatever that next level up is, and then it's like 250% more if you play on Torment.
Yeah, so like, I don't know. It doesn't. Whatever. I'm just sad. I won't ever get my Diablo 2 back.
So like as I said, I'll play a little bit more of it. Adventure mode is unlocked after you beat basically death, because that's the enemy in Act 5. You take down Malthiel. It unlocks Adventure Mode, and Adventure Mode is basically... So you know how in, like, Diablo 2 you'd go and, like, you'd grind out, like... You just, like, kind of run, like, boss fights or whatever to gain experience. This kind of gives you those runs. It's just in a randomized order where it's like you go back to like Act 1 and you go to the waypoint, and there's like five different points on there, and you go and run, and there's a bounty on each of these. So like defeat the Skeleton King from Act 1 might be one of them. So you defeat him, all along the way you're killing other enemies, you're gaining experience, you're gaining drops there. You beat the boss again, you gain more drops, and then you, if you complete the bounty that you've kind of set out to do, you also receive like a nice chunk of experience for there as well. So I've been leveling up my Demon Hunter very quickly.
That sounds like it.
Some of the adventure stuff. Which you want to do because you want to hit the level cap, because once you do that, then it unlocks the Paragon levels, which is a whole new leveling system that starts at 70, and you start gaining Paragon experience once you're maxed out on the regular levels, and then you can start dropping in points into certain attributes. I think there's like 4 or 5 different tabs that you can start filling in. So, and all of that filters down to your other characters that you have on the account. So you might be running a level 1 Crusader starting off. You can really up their damage, up their health and everything by being level 70 with another character and dumping Paragon points into certain things, which can make, you know, playing as a level 1 on the harder difficulties way easier and more fun too, because you're going to, you know, be getting better things and able to run through some of the more tedious stuff to get to the good stuff. It's a nice, cool addition, I think. I'm wondering when that stuff's going to show up on PS4 and Xbox One, though, because, Jeff, you played it on PS3, right?
What?
Diablo 3?
Yeah. No, I played on 360.
You played on 360. You said it worked pretty well, though, with the controller.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I'd like them to get that stuff up on and running on PS4 and Xbox One. It would be really great if there could be a character transfer as well, where you could kind of move your PC character over to a console.
Yeah,
or vice versa. That'll be cool. But
that was.
And I played a little more Titanfall. I regened to level 3.
Jesus Christ!
So. Moving on up with that. It might take a little while longer to get to level 4 because the regen challenges are they seem a little crazier this time around. I'm going to have to use the rail gun on my Titan and what else is it? Rail gun and satchel charges and the SMG, the R97. I'll have to max out all of those challenges before I can go up to level 4. So, I don't know if that'll happen anytime soon.
But it'll never happen for me.
Never. How far are you in going as it is?
I don't know, fucking level 30 something.
That's not too bad.
I have no idea because, I don't play the game. It's like my fucking roommates play it, so like, for all I know, I'm regened already. I have no idea.
That's funny. I played some with Tony though on Tuesday, and while we couldn't talk to each other, I'm not sure why. He was destroying things. He was going like 15-5 with 5 Titan kills mixed in there. And he was really destroying the opposition. Well, I was not having as good a night. Going a little more even.
Yeah, I'm lucky if I do that usually, so.
Kill lots of grunts and specters. Get your
I thought grunts don't give you shit, though. Like, that's what I kill a lot of anyways.
If you're playing attrition, they give you a point towards your attrition point, like to your attrition total. They also drop 15 seconds off your Titan timer for each grunt you kill. And I think they're worth like 10 experience, so they're worth killing.
God, this game is way deeper than I thought.
Yeah, there's a lot to it.
How do you know that shit?
Now played through 104 levels of it. Like,
okay.
It's like that's just stuff you pick up. Like, where I'm killing things, and you just pick it up by listening to like where the announcer's like, oh, it's 60 seconds to Titanfall, and then like if you kill a pilot, it'll immediately go like 30 seconds to Titanfall. So you know that there's a 30 second. You get a 30 second cut on your Titan timer if you kill a pilot. But I was noticing when I was killing grunts that it was, like, if I killed two, then it was a 30-second drop, so.
Gotcha.
Figured that out, 15 seconds. I don't know, that game's fun. Sadly, I have to go back and play Call of Duty and review the new map pack for that, so.
How did you do that? Why?
Just cause. I also have another game I have to play, Strike Suit Zero. I don't know anything about that though, so.
Did they give you the, like, code for it or something?
I had gotten a code for the season pass when.
Oh.
Yeah, so. I figure I should probably actually review it.
Good luck.
Yeah. Anyway, I think that's it for new stuff. Although I'm definitely gonna try out your quiz game.
Fuck yeah, dude. I'll challenge you within the show tonight. This will happen.
Let's see. Since Sony's not here, I picked up some news. Titanfall, since we just talked about it, they have done a new patch on the game. In that patch, they've introduced a private mode, a private match mode. So that, like, you and your friends can play against each other and not have to deal with playing, like, random. So you could set it up so, you know, if we could get, you know, 6 to 12 people, we could actually just play each other.
That's sweet.
Evidently, though, you don't gain experience, challenge progress, or get anything towards achievements while in private match. So that kind of sucks. It would be nice if you gained, like, at least a little bit of experience.
Yeah.
Like even in Halo, like, custom matches, you didn't get what you would in a public match, but you would get something. Be nice maybe if they could provide that at least, but.
Yeah, well. I agree, but at the same time, it's so cool that you can do, like, private.
Right. You also don't want people, like, boosting.
Yeah, exactly.
To get to level 10, like, through that.
Right.
Let's see, what else? Nothing else in that note. Supergiant Games, the people who made Bastion.
Yes.
They announced today that May 20th, Transistor will come out, their new game. It's going to launch on PlayStation 4 and Windows PC for now, which I think was announced last year at E3.
Mm-hmm.
So that game is finally coming. That game looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
Excited for that. You won't be able to play it right away, will you, Jeff? You're going to have to wait till kind of makes its way over to Xbox.
I'll do what I want. I'll maybe buy a PS4 just to play
just
it.
Just play it.
Mm-hmm.
Father, you gonna try and play it? Did you like Bastion or?
Yeah. I think I'll give it another go. It's coming out for Xbox though?
They haven't said yet, but my guess is it'll be out there at some point.
Yeah, I'll probably get it. I didn't beat the first one, but I like the concept. I like the art style. It's really cool.
Yeah, the art style looks awesome. So.
Right. Yeah.
Let's see. Dragon
Age has all the obscure news with him.
Yeah, he's good at that shit. Dragon Age Inquisition won't have post-launch DLC party members, so I guess whatever comes with the game is what you're going to get. You won't be able to add extra characters later on.
Well, that'll be more than enough for me because I'm never going to play it.
You don't like Dragon Age?
Fuck that game.
All right, that's pretty strong.
Yeah, that's a.
Sorry.
Someone that is obsessed with that Reckoning game or Kingdoms of Amalur.
That's a really good game.
Okay, so what's the difference between the two again?
First of all, I only played a little bit of each of them. The mechanics suck basically in both of them, and it's way different than Kings of Valor. Kings of Valor has good gameplay, like good action to it, and Dragon Age, I suppose it's like a fucking fantasy Mass Effect, but it sucks.
Oh, yeah. It's so funny, and not to sound a little sexist here, but always the women that freak out about that franchise. Holy shit.
Yep.
Every girl that's a gamer that I know loves Dragon Age. I mean, it's not like... I guess there is a lot more romance in the game besides, like, or compared to other ones, but it's not, like, an insane amount. I don't know. It's,
right.
That's pretty weird.
I enjoyed the first one, but that was, I played it on PC, which was a completely different experience than, you know, if you played it on 360.
I don't know why it kind of gets all the hate. I'm not a huge Dragon Age fan by any means, but second one was okay. I like the supporting cast members. It was fun. I mean, but yeah, people were going crazy about that game.
Well, I think people didn't like some of the things about the second one. It wasn't the story. It was that, I guess the environments were reused over and over again, so.
Right.
Everything kind of looked samey, I guess. I didn't play a whole lot of 2, so I'm not really sure, but I remember that was one of the complaints. Pushed out.
I don't know. I had a good time with it. It was definitely. Yeah, the first part really sucked, like just trying to get all the gold coins to even be able to enter the city or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
But I still thought it was pretty cool. I really liked the dwarf. He was really fun to play, or to, as a side character, so.
One last thing that All right. I see here in news. Phil Spencer, new head of Xbox. He says the Xbox has the resource and ambition to change the world.
Yeah, that Xbox is very confident in what he does. I don't understand what that means, per se, like...
I don't know.
Take over the world?
Yeah, this is the exact quote. Fundamentally, this is a company, he's referring to Microsoft, that wants to do things that change the world. And they have the resource and ambition to do that, whether that's with Xbox or any of the projects that we build.
I mean, it's corporate, just kind of bullshit. I mean, I would chalk it up to that, and not really think too much further. Does he really believe it? Like, if you put him in a fucking lie detector test, maybe.
That he sounds. Like, he sounds like he's behind this, though. Whether it's as crazy as this or not, but he definitely is, he's definitely enthusiastic about what he's doing.
You say he's a new Xbox guy? Why does his name sound familiar again?
He's been around, Microsoft.
He used to be at Activision, right?
I don't know what Spencer did before. He was actually in charge of, Microsoft Game Studios. Previously.
Oh. Okay.
So, like, he was around last year for the debacle with how they handled, you know, the PR and everything.
See the guy with, like, the long hair?
I don't think so.
Not, like, super long, but he has, like, kind of like that, like, surfer hair. He said when the Xbox is coming out, like, oh, if you don't have internet, you can't. You shouldn't be allowed to play.
That guy is now at Zynga. What the hell was his name?
Oh.
Don Matrick? That sound right?
Yeah.
He was a crazy person. Yeah, he was the one that, if you don't have the internet, he also said about the military that, you know, if you were in the military, the Xbox 360 was the system that they had for them. Yeah, he said a lot
actually,
of dumb things.
That reminds me of something. You could talk about the Nintendo Direct that came out recently.
Smash Bros. Lay
it on us.
Yeah, tell us.
All right, they had one specifically geared for Smash Brothers. Couple release dates, not anything set in stone, but apparently the 3DS one is coming out before the Wii U one, which really? Is kind of weird.
Fucking backwards, yeah.
And it's not even like a couple weeks, it's like months in between. Like, the 3DS one is coming out during the summertime, which is alright. I mean, that's cool. Kids will have something to do while they're out of school, but the Wii U one doesn't come out till holiday. And everyone thinks it's going to get delayed.
Here's what I think it's dumb about it. It's like, everyone has a 3DS, so yeah, it's going to sell on 3DS, but you put it on 3DS first, yeah, a lot of motherfucking Smash Bros. fans are like, I don't need to buy the Wii U, you know? I can
exactly.
Just...
Right.
It's dumb. You put it on Wii U first,
well,
all these
fucking people
are going to buy it.
Well, it's almost like they've kind of almost given up on the Wii U because it's like, you'd figure that they'd put it on their flagship one. Like, could you imagine if Titanfall came out on the 360 before the Xbox One?
Right.
It wouldn't make sense. Like, it's dumb. Like, you should allocate your resources to, like, to the one that has the most potential. And what Nintendo's pretty much saying is that, well, we know the system of ours that is doing, that is honestly, like, just like, I don't know profits, I don't know like all that financial lingo, but I know there's a lot of people that have fucking 3DSs that don't have Wii U's. So instead of trying to like help out their dying console, like they've almost just been like putting it as an afterthought. Regardless, they announced some new tracks, or I'm sorry, not tracks, but levels. New characters, and I think there's, some Mario Kart 8 stuff in there as well.
Okay.
That announced new tracks, they're going to do some old school, like old school tracks, things of that nature too. I mean, you know, pretty basic stuff. Pretty standard stuff. I think the biggest things were, again, like, kind of like those release dates actually being out there. They had another Nintendo Direct, like the day after. It had the weirdest fucking trailer I've ever seen in my life. It's like a Sims for Nintendo Mii characters. And it's really weird. It is really weird. Like, you guys should... After this is done, you should watch it. It's like 8 minutes long, and it's kind of like watching a sitcom of like all the Nintendo executives and just stupid shit that they're doing. I don't even know how to explain it. You just kind of have to watch it for yourself, and then you'll just be like, what the fuck did I just watch? It could be pretty cool. Again, it's kind of like, if you like Sims, it definitely reminds me a lot like that. And the cool thing about it, of course, is that you can use your own Miis for all that, so, trying to think what else. The Nintendo Directs, they're pretty much focused on Smash Brothers. And then, like, there's that second Nintendo Direct, but that was, like, the biggest thing to come out of it. There wasn't too much more off the top of my head that I could think of.
So the Wii U is dead, basically.
There's a new Mario title in development.
Yeah.
Shut up.
I don't know if it's for Wii U or 3DS, so.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know what they were thinking. Like, the Wii U, I mean, again, like, it really feels like a last-gen console at this point, and it has nothing to do with graphics. It's just like you always look at the way that they pair stuff, or even the way people talk about things. For example, a lot of games nowadays, for some reason, they're still like holding on to the fact that they don't want to like make the jump to next gen yet. So they'll be like, okay, this is coming out for the PS3, Xbox 360, and the Wii U. So it's like, instead of the Wii U, like, jumping up to the PS4, Xbox One, just, it's really weird. Like, I feel like Nintendo should just, like, start from scratch and release a new console already, because, like, you could chalk this one up. It's...
Yeah, but, I mean, I don't know. It kind of sucks, but, like, if I play a game like Splinter Cell Blacklist, I think it's really good on Wii U. And now that is last gen, but still. You know what I mean? Like,
The problem is that, like, with Wii U, there's a lot of things that kind of piss me off. And the fact is, yes, there are games like that, or like Deus Ex, where they're probably utilizing the gamepad pretty well, but I feel like the gamepad is still not being utilized correctly. And I just don't get excited for it, because if I'm going to play a game on this huge ass monstrosity that I could probably beat someone to death with, like I want it to be like worth it, because if it's not, I have a nice, sleek Xbox or PlayStation controller that I can fall back to.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's just, like, all these ideas, like, off the top of my head that, for example, Pokemon Snap 2 should be a no-brainer. Yeah. Open world Pokemon game where you're using that as your camera. Like, and like, just more camera games. Like, a camera game... like a Fatal Frame game, that would be great to have on the Wii U. I mean, there's a ton of things that could utilize that gamepad greatly, but, like...
it's kind of fallen into being the map screen, or...
I don't know, yeah.
Play on the pad itself. And I think those are both great features, but I'm with you. Why the fuck can't you make Pokemon Snap? Like, would that take that long to make, even? You know what I mean?
I know, I figure, like, I mean, really all you have to do is kind of, the characters are there. You don't need a story, per se. You go to Professor Oak, hey, Professor, you need these Pokemons, like, that's awesome. I will, and it won't take away from, like, Pokemon, like, on the 3DS, because you're taking pictures of them. And, like, build, like, a world like Skyrim where, like, you know, like, you can go into towns and, like, talk to people, and maybe you can only get, like, certain information about certain Pokemons, like, when they come out during the day and what you need to do to capture them. Like, this is shit off the top of my head I'm coming up with right now. And, like, I feel like I can probably sell this and people will get excited for it.
I'm excited.
And yet, like... They're so stuck in their ways where they're like, I think they have like this, okay, we're going to release a Zelda in 2 years, a Mario in another 2 years. Like, they're just like...
we'll do Mario every year, Zelda every 4 years.
Right.
Metroid once every 8 years.
Well, yeah, once a generation. Like, I feel like... and that's a problem when you have a company that's been around for as long as Nintendo has, is that there's not a lot of risks that they're taking. And you know, you look at Nintendo, you look at, like, fuck, like, just, like, the NES, Super NES, like, those were just fucking powerhouses. I mean, nothing came close to them, and back then, they didn't give a shit. Like, and Nintendo used to be the mature console, too. Like,
no,
I just wish they would just...
I don't remember that.
Well, no, they did have definitely mature-rated stuff, like, on the 64... look at Doom 64. I mean, look at, like all the shooters that came out on it. Like, there was
early
a ton
on,
of mature stuff.
Early on, they built their reputation, though, by being against stuff like that. Like, the Mortal Kombat was fucking gimped. On, what was
right.
It? I don't know.
Right, but still.
But yeah.
Genesis for life, bitches.
Right. I mean, I don't know. I just wish they would kind of stack up and, like, just be like, charge into Sony and Microsoft instead of just being like this, like,
just go at
this, like, fucking gimmick machine. Like, who can honestly ever say that, like, Nintendo's console is legitimately, if they own all three consoles, their primary source of gaming? I can't tell you one person that would say that if they owned all three consoles.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's a supplementary machine.
It's your exclusive machine.
Yep.
No, I play games that aren't on it, but still, yeah, pretty much.
More so than not, though.
But yeah, yeah. I play Need for Speed on it. I'm playing a new Splinter Cell on it. Like, for shit like that, like, if I think it'll
be... Yeah, but you also say you got Splinter Cell because it's cheaper, too, right?
Yeah, but... Dude, it looks as good as it would on fucking PS3, and I like the controller.
Sure. Whatever. I would hope so. That's the last-gen console you're talking about. Fuck.
Well, at the same time, I don't think I've seen anything on Xbox One that I've been like, wow, that's amazing. You know, like, that's way better than last-gen. I'm sure I'm missing tons of
time. No, you're right.
Rise is probably the closest. I think on either system, actually, Rise looks the best.
Maybe I'll rent that.
And it's definitely going to be harder and harder as, like, the years go by to, like, the differences.
Right.
But you will eventually see it, though. Like, you'll see it in facial animations. And I think that's where, like, you're going to see it. It's not so much going to be, like, that jump from the PS2 to the PS3. But, you know, I think when you have that great facial animations, you're going to be able to tell better stories. And that's what I'm hoping that this generation eventually goes towards, is being able to tell stories on par with movies or books or something of that nature. Because
I think
we're getting there.
I think we already have on some of these.
There's one or two. There's one or two that can make a case for it, but, I mean,
Last of Us? Chris's favorite game?
Last of Us, yeah, I love it.
I thought that story was as good as any fucking movie I've seen. Well, not any movie I've seen.
I was about to say, any movie you've ever seen.
I mean, it's as good as any fucking game story I've seen. Like, way better than any game story I've seen.
I agree. And I think that there's, like, emotional parts in that, you know, where, like, it felt really just real, that was something rare that I hadn't really seen before being used so well in a game. So I think we're getting there. And I think that with this generation, it's just going to get there, just kind of, I don't know. Utilize it better.
Speaking of The Last of Us, it was confirmed that it is coming to PS4, I guess sometime this summer.
Yeah, they're making a remastered.
Yeah.
Like, remastered, like Tomb Raider remaster, or just like, here it is on a PS4 disc?
Probably up-resed graphics and...
Because, like, Tomb Raider, they kind of, like, went to town on it, didn't they? Like...
I mean, they basically brought you the PC port.
Yeah, yeah.
Which already had better looking visuals than...
Yeah.
I don't know how much better this will. I don't know if anybody's seen it in action or anything. It does include the Left Behind DLC, which was the story DLC that released last month or maybe
early
in February. I don't know. It's still $60, though. That seems a bit pricey to me. Not that I was going to go back and play that game again, but...
I would, but probably not $60. Like, if I, you know, a year from now, if it's like $20,
right.
I might pick it up.
To me, that's where that price point should be, $20-$30. But whatever. Borderlands.
Woo!
Oh, great.
There's a new Borderlands coming. Don't everybody
there are still a lot of people that are really excited.
Right, yeah.
Really excited for this.
I don't get it. It's Borderlands the pre-sequel. It is a Xbox 360 PS3 PC game.
What? I didn't know that.
Yeah, it is a last-gen game. It is not developed by Gearbox.
Oh God!
Yep. So right.
Do they outsource it again? Are they gonna slap their Gearbox name on it?
It is. I believe it is being developed by 2K Australia. Maybe I think. But it is not being developed by Gearbox. Let's see. Yeah. Borderlands, the pre-sequel, is coming to the PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, and Windows PC this fall, and is in development by 2K Australia.
Maybe they'll do a better job than fucking Gearbox.
Maybe. My thought here, though, is, I mean, one, I'm not really excited for a new Borderlands anyway.
Yeah.
But if I was, the best the Borderlands DLC that was any good was all developed by Gearbox. The bad Borderlands DLC was developed by people that weren't Gearbox, which makes me think that maybe this game won't be so good. But
it's also harder to be excited because it's on last gen.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
Which is apparently isn't last gen yet, but, you know, it's last gen. Fuck that. It's not even a sequel. Not that I care about the story, but.
So yeah, it takes place, in between Borderlands and Borderlands 2. So it is a pre-sequel.
Yeah.
It's a prequel to 2, sequel to 1. I don't know. Sounds stupid. I'm not on board. Don't care.
I know my one roommate will be all about it. Yeah. He plays the fuck out of Borderlands 2 still.
Big into Borderlands?
Yeah, it's like all he plays. Yeah.
I mean, good. Well, there's a game for him.
There you go. Yeah.
I'll be playing Destiny.
Yeah. No, he saw, there's some, I think it was, a PS4 commercial. They showed, footage of that. He's like, what the fuck is that? I was like, dude, that's... Like, the makers of Halo are making that. He's like, really? Yeah. So,
That's the game that I'm looking forward to, so.
Yeah.
Good on you, though, if you're into Borderlands and you want something on the 360 and PS3. Alright, that's it for news, unless you guys got anything.
Pregnant.
Nope.
No, let's move on to some questions. I know that Jeff got at least one, and I have one, so.
Yeah, I see one from Brian, right?
Yeah, Brian sent one in.
He said, what are your favorite movies from 2013, and what are your most anticipated 2014 movies?
Ooh, I've got a couple. I don't remember 2013. Was Inception 2013?
No.
That was 2010.
A little bit back.
Yeah, last year was 2013, Fozzie.
Man of Steel was pretty good. I like that a lot.
Yeah, I thought that was really good. I've seen a bunch, too, because they play on HBO.
Fuck. Django? That one?
Django was 2012.
Jesus.
Hold on. We got pause.
Wolf of Wall Street?
Jesus. Yeah, there you go.
Wolf of Wall Street, yes. Did Jeff just die?
Yeah, I think so.
I'll run down. I actually have my list out. From last year, American Hustle, Gravity, Trance. I like Now You See Me. Lots of other people did not. Frozen. Enjoyed that. Hunger Games Catching Fire. Fast and Furious 6. Pacific Rim. Spring Breakers. And You're Next were all films that
Pacific Rim was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Pacific Rim was a good time. So.
Yeah.
What are you looking forward to?
Definitely Godzilla. I think by far, I don't think I've ever been, I haven't been this excited for a movie in a few years. And then definitely 22 Jump Street. I love the first one. The first one was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And it was surprisingly good.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really think of Channing Tatum as really a guy that, he's not a fucking comedic genius, but he plays the person that he stereotypes himself to be really well, you know, yep.
What are you guys talking about?
We're talking about 22 Jump Street.
What? Oh, yeah, that was a fucking great movie. Sorry, I had to go pee, but I missed you guys' answers. God damn it.
Well, yeah, we just started talking about what we're looking forward to, so.
Yeah.
Jeff,
I have no idea what's coming out.
There's some folks. Were there any other ones you wanted to touch on from last year?
Well, I don't know what you guys touched on.
I ran out my top 10, so.
God damn. Finally saw fucking some movie from 2010.
He did see, he said he liked Pacific Rim.
I haven't seen that.
You should watch it, it's good. It's fun.
Well, no, go ahead, what were you saying?
Oh yeah, Bad Grandpa, that was a good one.
Was that good?
Yeah.
Was it really good?
Really good? I don't know. I mean, it was funny.
I kind of went two ways on it. I was like, I don't know, I could, whatever, I'll probably watch it, but
no, it's good. It's like a mix of Borat and Jackass, so I mean.
I could get behind that.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess. I mean, that's what I thought it was, but I don't know. Yeah. For me, probably the last couple I saw, well, Man of Steel for sure. Like, I thought that was really underrated by critics. I don't get that. But, Nebraska and, Her. Especially Her. Like, I thought Her was, like, that's a movie that's gonna catch on the more people see it, I think. Like, that was fucking really good. So.
Oh, speaking of Scarlett Johansson, that Lucy movie, is that coming out this year?
Maybe.
That movie looks really fucking cool. Just saw a trailer for that a couple days ago.
Yep. That is, comes out this year.
Yeah, it looks dark as shit.
What is that? Awesome. I haven't seen that.
It's a new Luc Besson movie. He's the guy who did, The Professional.
Yeah, way back, like the 90s movies?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, alright.
I mean, he's done other things, yeah, that's the one everyone
kind pretty of much
points back. But he did he directed The Fifth Element.
Okay.
You know, some other stuff. But yeah, Lucy is here's what IMDb says: a woman accidentally caught in a dark deal turns the tables on her captors and transforms into a merciless warrior, evolved beyond human logic. So.
What the fuck?
Right. It starts Scarlett Johansson and Morgan Freeman.
I'm down.
Like, what happens is, like, they put, like,
spoilers.
These... Yes. Well, it's a trailer, so a blanket trailer. But, like, they put, like, these fucking, like, the rocks or whatever the drug is, like, in her stomach. The dude kicks her in the stomach, and some of it, like, goes into her body. So then, like, all of a sudden, like, she's inhaling it, like, into her system, and it makes her go fucking nuts. And so, like, there's this whole premise. Morgan Freeman's a professor at some university, and they're discussing, like, how humans only use 10% of their brain. And, like, Scarlett Johansson's pretty much, like, she's starting to use, like, 100% of her, like, of her brain and her body in general. So, like, she's starting to, like, see coding in, like, it's like the Matrix-ish type shit. Like, it looks awesome. You need to see the fucking trailer. It looks really cool. But, yeah, she pretty much becomes Keanu Reeves, except as a hot girl. So,
can't
go wrong with that.
I'd watch anything with that bitch.
Well, there you go.
You're going to want to see, Under the Skin, then, Jeff, because she gets naked in it.
Oh,
really?
Yeah. It's out in limited release right now. But it sounds like, it kind of sounds like Species, almost.
So maybe it's not sex naked? Maybe it's like she's turning into a creature naked?
No. She's like an alien, and I guess she like has sex with them, and then kills them.
I wish I could download that shit right meow.
I'm not sure. I know it's an art house flick, so
Yeah, but if it's you said it's on video on demand or something, or what?
No, it's in limited release, so I don't know if you can get it on video on demand. If I could, I would watch it.
What's the name of it?
Yeah.
Under the Skin.
I'll tell you right now. No, we cannot pirate that.
Fozzie had mentioned 22 Jump Street and Godzilla.
I just heard the other day that 22 Jump Street was coming out. Like, I had no idea there was going to be a sequel to that.
Oh, dude.
did we need a sequel? I mean, it was great.
Yes.
I watched it again.
Yes,
the
we
I
do.
They're going to college
so
now.
Good.
Well, I guess why not, right? Like,
just keep doing it.
I mean, it made a shit ton of money, and I figure, like, yeah, they'll probably make maybe one more after this, but it makes sense. Like, go to college now, you know what I mean?
It could be really funny. I don't know.
I like the reason that it's 22 Jump Street, not 21 Jump Street.
Yeah,
it's
'cause
the police department forgot to pay the rent on the church, or their lease was up, so they had to move across the street. some of the stuff that I kind of have on my list is X-Men, Days of Future Past.
Yeah, that looks good.
I'm hoping that turns out good. Maleficent with Angelina Jolie.
That looks good.
This movie, right?
Yeah. Edge of Tomorrow with Tom Cruise. I'm not 100% sure on what that is. It looks a bit like remember the Matt Damon movie that came out last year where he had the mech suit?
Elysium?
Yeah.
That good?
I didn't see it.
I saw bits and pieces, and it was kind of boring from what I remember.
Well, was Oblivion good? That's like another one.
I liked Oblivion.
Yeah.
That's a Tom Cruise one, though.
Yeah, it's a Tom Cruise one. Edge of Tomorrow, though, it's like, I mean, it's Tom Cruise in a mech suit, in some sort of war thing, so it looks pretty cool. So I had that down. Yeah. And, the other one that is kind of, well, there's two, I guess, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, dude!
Comes out in July.
I never got into those movies, I don't know.
The last one was good.
Yeah, I'm like, not a big Planet of the Apes movie, but as Jeff said, like, that last one, solid.
I never saw that one.
You should watch that. Was that Rise of the Planet of the Apes?
Yeah.
You should give that one a shot.
And, that's the second new one that came out, right? Like, the first one was just Planet of the Apes or something.
Or was that a Tim Burton one?
Tim Burton one was just Planet of the Apes with Mark Wahlberg.
That was like a long time.
Yeah. This one was, it was a couple years ago, and the hell's his name? James Franco.
Yeah.
He's in it.
The Frank Man.
Yeah. So that movie was pretty good, and
yeah, like I remember it characterized one of the apes like really well, like throughout the whole movie.
Yeah,
so
Caesar.
What happened? Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was. It's like Project X turns into Planet of the Apes. Like, halfway through, it's fucking great.
And the last one is the new Wachowski. I guess they're not brothers anymore. I'm not sure. Because Larry Wachowski is now Lana Wachowski. One's now a girl, so.
Yeah.
Shit.
The Wachowski siblings.
Yeah, the Wachowski siblings.
They just put that ring, they put that on a title card.
They have a new movie called Jupiter Ascending, which looks like some, like.
Oh, yeah, that does look good. That's with Channing Tatum, too.
Yeah, that one looks pretty solid. They're just been hit or miss since The Matrix, so.
Why are they always doing, like, fucking sci-fi? Can't they do other things?
No.
They did Bound, didn't they?
Did they?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Also, that Guardians of the Galaxy, that looks pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Not 100% sure on that, but yeah.
I like Chris Pratt. Oh, Lego Movie. That's probably definitely one of my favorite 2013 movies, too.
That came out this year.
Fair enough.
Yep, there you go. Yeah, they did do Bound, Jeff.
I told you. I know my shit. I know my film history.
And then
me a quiz up.
Then they did just from that point, they've done all sci-fi.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But, like, I mean, they know what they're doing. They can make, I mean, you can make other types of stories, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, they spent so much time with The Matrix, like...
And the only good one was Matrix 1. And Matrix 1 was pretty awesome, dude. I'll give you that. But
I don't hate the sequels.
It almost didn't need the sequels. Like, that one, just on
it was okay, but yeah, you're right. It didn't need the trilogy.
3 was...
I think that if you just released the Matrix 1 with no sequel, that's like an awesome like sci-fi movie, or like sci-fi action movie.
Yeah, that would actually like kind of leave it up to interpretation of how people
want to. You
know
he's gonna like he's gonna take over the computer and win at the end. Like you know that at the end of the first one, that's all you needed. It would have been great.
Yep.
But then again, money.
Yeah. People well, like, I mean, they wanted it to be a trilogy from the start, but it's like the. What they had in store for the rest of it was so bad that, whatever.
That bridge motorcycle chase scene in 2 is pretty cool, though.
Yeah, it was fun.
Oh, yeah, with the ghost guys or whatever, like the twins. Yeah,
that was cool. And there's that the one scene in kind of with the staircase where Neo's fighting. That one's pretty good, but outside of that, yeah, you're right. 2 and 3, not good movies. 3, not a good movie at all. Like, I don't think there's anything redeemable about that film. That all takes place in the real world, so. Anyway, I think that's it. I think we've now touched on everything for films. Welcome to Movie Dudes.
See, we're giving the fans little miniature Movie Dude episodes in each of these.
I do have another question that came in. Not sure how serious question this is. It comes in from friend of the show, Earl. Are video games too cheap?
No.
That's it? He doesn't go any further?
Well, he has a second question. Assuming that we say yes on this. What price should publishers look to increase it to?
0.
They should increase it to 0?
Yeah.
I like the $60 price point. I mean, I don't like it. I would like it lower, but...
I think 50 seemed more reasonable to me.
Yeah, 40 seemed more reasonable as well. That was what PlayStation 1 era games were.
Were they really?
Yeah, but... Look at inflation-wise, like, games have definitely kind of stayed pretty neutral. I'm surprised, like, they didn't go up to 70 this generation.
Well, it's weird, like, there were games back in the day, like, Donkey Kong Country, I think back in the day, was $75.
Yep.
I could be wrong.
No, you're pretty much... I don't remember exactly what Donkey Kong Country cost, but I remember...
Now, like, there's no way you'd pay that much for something like that. Like, you know what I mean?
Chrono Trigger was
with
90
inflation,
bucks.
That was for like 100 something.
Yep.
I mean, there is kind of like a, I guess like kind of like a different thought process where a game like Skyrim, where you know people are going to get guaranteed 60 hours of like gameplay, do you think that they could have jacked it up to 80?
I mean, if we're gonna do that, price that way across the board, so that
exactly, yeah,
Call of
make
Duty
things
is fucking $30. Or I mean, I guess you get more out of Call of Duty. I'm thinking, I don't know,
Infamous.
That's a fucking $30 game. Even that's probably a longer game than most. Like, there's games that are like fucking short as shit.
Right.
Well, at least Metal Gear's priced like that.
Definitely, there are games that come out every week that should not be $60.
Except Metal Gear is about 20 minutes long and
$30. I mean, again, it's kind of like a tough pill to swallow. Yeah, like, I guess you could get into like a pricing system where games that you know, like heavily multiplayer games or like RPGs, you could probably price them a little bit higher, but then you would have to have a balance where games that were only like 8, you know, to 15 hours, price them lower. So I'm pretty happy just being kind of a happy medium of...
I'm happy with... Well, that's, I don't think... Alright, my opinion is that I have no problem with 60-hour games, but some games should be honest with themselves and release at 40 or 50. Like, and then some games are, like Sonic, I think, came out at 50 or whatever, you know?
Right. Well, I mean, like, you look at, just look at last year with the, or this year as well, with the open world games. GTA 5 comes out, $60 game.
And that's a $60 game. You're right. Getting all $60 out of it.
Right. You're getting a 40-hour campaign, you know, multiplayer if you want it, and then compare it to Infamous, which is a 15-hour game, and that, you know, that's roughly how long. There's no multiplayer. I mean, are they worth the same? Like, I mean, I guess for some people they are, but...
I don't feel bad paying $60 for a 15-hour game.
I'm not saying I do either. I'm just saying when you compare it to...
In fact, 15 is like the sweet spot.
Right. Well, because that's it. I never finished GTA 5 because it's a 40-hour game. I don't have 40 hours.
I did.
To...
No, but yeah. Anyways.
Right. But I mean, like, where's the even there? Like, is it worth more than GTA? Is it worth the same as GTA? Like, Assassin's Creed's a 30-hour game. Like,
you have to break it down by time, but just know what you're releasing, man. Like, if you're releasing a new Sonic game, that's not a $60 game. I'm sorry, I don't care how good it is.
No.
You gotta get your fucking people, like, back on it anyways, you know? Like, people interested in the series. And there's, you know, it's not a AAA game. That should be $40-$50 tops.
Yeah, I mean, like, AAA titles... If there's like a grading system where we had that, where yeah, you can kind of price them, that'd be nice. But again, $60. If you want to make it a little bit lower, nice. If not,
well, I'm not saying. I'm not saying there should be a standard or anything. I'm just saying if you are releasing a game, like, think about your price point. Like, $60 might hurt you more than anything.
Well, I mean, EA kind of did this with Titanfall and. Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare, both multiplayer only shooters. Garden Warfare launched at $40.
Yeah, it's like a premium price.
That was a good price point for it, because I would not have spent more than $40 for it.
No, but
it's just, that's high. I think that's pretty high for like a downloadable game.
Well, I mean, you could buy it at retail.
The Plants vs. Zombies game?
Yeah,
I have it.
You could walk into a store and buy that game.
Okay.
Like, I mean, it was a retail game. All right, sold it at $40. You know, when...
Well, then in that case, I guess it is smart, but... Okay.
Right. Like, I mean, yes, I think at $40 for a downloadable-only game might have been a bit high, but, you know, $40 for a retail multiplayer shooter, you know, when compared next to Titanfall... Which you're gonna sell for $60 because you know you're gonna sell a million copies of that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that makes sense.
I mean, think if they had released it at $60, they probably didn't sell much of it. I mean, I don't know how it sold, so. But, if they released it at $60, it wouldn't sell nearly as well.
Right. But you sell it at $40 and you got Fozzie and me to buy it.
There you go.
So. Well. I like variable pricing. I think that should be a standard. Maybe not $60 for the pricing, but you know.
It'd be fun if they did it for movie tickets too. Not that like I don't care. A movie ticket at most is it could get up there, but.
What do you pay for a movie ticket where you are?
I haven't been to a movie out here. Like say in Chicago, if I would go to matinees, like you know. And it'd be like $5. $5-$6.
Yeah, our matinees are $8.50.
Really?
Yeah. The only time we get tickets under that is if we go before noon and they're $6.
See, like normally in Chicago it was like before 5 PM any showing you went to was that price. Like it was like, say $5.75 or something like that.
Yeah, before 5, which is what I guess they consider a matinee time.
it's 850, and then anything after that is, it's like 1250 for the one theater and 14 for the other theater.
Yikes.
Yep. Yeah, we took the kids to see the Muppets. That was a $100 night out.
Yikes.
Yeah. Great, right?
Well, there's this thing called Pirate Bay. I'll show it to you later.
Okay.
Get the kids early in on that.
I wouldn't be surprised if they don't
already know.
It, yeah. My computer probably has a virus because of it. I think that's it for questions, unless you guys have something else.
Just my own personal questions. I'll keep them myself.
What's that, Jeff?
I'm keeping them myself. I'm going to internalize them.
All right. We will be back next week. Fozzie has a good idea for our 200th episode, which is coming up in about a month plus.
Yes, ma'am.
So we're going to see if we can get that working out. And
does he really?
He does. He has a plan.
I always have good ideas. Okay, don't be so surprised.
Hey, I'm going to bring this up just because Tony's not here. Didn't Tony want to do a game show?
He did. He did.
All right, so we're holding to that because that'd be fun as fuck.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm going to make him make a game show.
Oh, my Lord.
For the 200th episode. Family
Feud.
Good.
There
it is.
I like it. All right. We are rapidly approaching our 200th episode, so we're gonna have some stuff in mind. I feel next week there will be some news. Because PAX East is going on, so there's going to be some stuff coming out of there, including a new Firaxis AAA game. People are hoping for next-gen XCOM. I don't know.
They need to ride that train for a while. I would not be surprised by that.
Yeah, that sounds like a brilliant idea, actually. XCOM was lots of fun. We'll see what other stuff comes out of PAX East. Hopefully Tony will be back. And otherwise, check out the site. There's a bunch of stuff up there. Power rankings are up. Game of the Month is up. Lots of stuff going on. All right. Say goodnight, Fozzie.
Latest.